Jesus passing on his way came upon a man one day, blind from birth and darkness covering his eyes. Oh, but Jesus spat upon the ground, making clay as he stooped down, commanded him to go and wash, let in the light. A speck of dirt is all I am, nothing worthy of the Lamb, but in mercy and in grace, my blessed Savior took my place. What is man that God could love? His virtue so much higher above, the human mind can't comprehend. Creator as creation's friend, blind by sin and nature's night, one day God led me to the light, where He showed me I could sing about His love. Now I may never ever see why He should choose such love for me. Without my Lord, a speck of dirt is all I'd be. A speck of dirt is all I am, nothing worthy of the Lamb. But in mercy and in grace, my blessed Savior took my place. What is man that God would love? His virtue so much higher above, the human mind can't comprehend. Creator as creation's
free. Amen. Amen. Boy. Hallelujah. Amen.
You like
amen. 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 All right, get me on here, fellas. Amen. What a blessing. Good singing. Hey, listen. That means it's not that. Fellas, one, two. It's coming, I think.
Hello.
I heard about a preacher one time, and they said every Sunday he got up and they said he'd thank God for something. And I mean, he was known for it. He was known for no matter what the situation was, he would thank God for something. He had a reputation of always being upbeat and positive and, you know, on top of things. And they said every Sunday he'd thank God for something. And one morning it was weather like this. And I mean, it was foggy and rainy and cold. It was 46 degrees. We was coming down here. It's probably about 40 right now. And it was awful like this. And there's two ladies sitting back there, and one of them punched the other and said, I bet he ain't got nothing to thank God for this morning, this weather like that. And he jumped up and he said, folks, thank God that it ain't always like this. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. So you've always got something to be thankful for. And I want to look at Psalm 100 tonight, and I want to talk about being thankful just for a little bit. Honest. I'm going to be very brief here tonight. I want to make a point, and then we'll let you go. Psalm 100, one of my favorite psalms. This psalm was read by the pilgrims right out of the King James Bible after they landed at Plymouth Rock in 1620. 21, along in there. I'll tell you more about that in a minute. And we want to look at Psalm 100 and verse number 1. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. That's what we were doing a while ago. All ye land. Serve the Lord with gladness. Serve the Lord with gladness. Not, why do we have to go? I don't like you. Serve the Lord with gladness. If you were in some people's shoes this morning, or this evening, like I was talking about this morning, you'd serve the Lord with gladness. Mr. Bentley told me back there a minute ago that guy, you know the guy that I showed you this morning with no arms and no legs, he's been on TV now and is married with children, is that true? And driving a hot rod car. Ain't that something? Praise God, more power to him, amen. How in the world? How in the world that work? But I tell you what, he's a success. Can I give y'all a little lesson on success? I ain't gonna preach it. You want to be a success in business? You want to be a success in your life? Here's how to do it. Success is getting what you want without violating the rights of others. There's only two places where only one place where success comes before work. Dictionary. Amen? Success is not permanent, neither is failure. Amen? I want to say this. You know how to be a success? Putting the right people on the right jobs. Anybody that runs a business, pastor, anybody, has to have the right people in the right position. All right, let's finish reading that psalm this morning. This evening. Good night. Good morning. It is verse 3. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us. We did not come from monkeys. Amen? It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. One fellow said, I'm a self-made man. No, you ain't. You're a mess. Well, God made man upright, but He sought out many inventions. Well, not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving. There it is, thanksgiving. And into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him. Are you thankful? And bless His name. Are you thankful to the Lord tonight? Has God been good to you? Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. Amen. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. And His truth endureth to all generation. There are a lot of holidays, but Thanksgiving is the most scriptural holiday of all. I'm going to give you just very short, a little talk about it this evening, and then we'll go. There are many, many things for which we should be thankful for. And 2 Timothy chapter 3 says that one of the signs of the last days is that people would be unthankful. The more unthankful they are, seem like, the more God does for us, the least we appreciate. Sometimes you feel that way about your kids. The more you buy them, the meaner they are. The more nice you do stuff for your wife, seem like the hatefuler she gets. That's a Greek word. The more you try to be nice to your husband, it seems like the meaner he gets. Amen? And that's the way our nature is. The more God blesses us, it seems like the more rebellious and sorry that we get. We ought to be shouting happy every day of our life. One of the surest proofs of the depravity of the human heart is that we are unthankful for all that God has given us. Ladies and gentlemen, I heard about a man one time went to church and is it Sunday before Thanksgiving? And a man stood up and he said, I want to give $200 this morning in honor of my son who had passed away. He said, my son passed away, got killed or something happened to him. He said, I want to give $200 in memory and honor of my son. And another fellow stood up and said, you know what? I'm going to give $200 because my son's sitting here healthy and saved. And you know what? I've heard people come to church and say, Lord, have mercy. We come back close to hitting somebody on the way to church. I almost got killed. That wasn't by the grace of God. Boy, thank God. You know what? You don't have to almost get killed before you thank God for taking care of you. Any one of us could have been laying in the emergency room tonight on our way to church. And, Lord, I hit one mud puddle and I couldn't see nothing. And you know, sometimes sometimes when it's almost dark and the light's shining on the road. And well, you know who took care of us? The Lord did. The Lord brought us all here safely. Amen. We ought to be thankful unto Him. Now, I'm seeing something and hearing something. I don't stay up with everything that goes on in the news. I keep up with just enough so I know what's going on. But I do notice a trend. And there's a trend going on today to remove Thanksgiving and Christmas out of the history of our country. And I've read a couple of articles lately that they're putting out saying, this is a bunch of baloney. Them pilgrims wasn't Christians. I mean, they got drunk and they did this and they did that. And there were people on the Mayflower that got drunk. And there was one sailor, one that worked for the crew, who mocked the Christians and made fun of them. And he got took by a terrible disease the next day and died, and they threw him overboard. And the Maltese, they won't tell you that. But the secular humanists will tell our kids, and it's creeping into our schools and everything, that Thanksgiving really, when we, I don't, who do they thank when they have Thanksgiving? They just say we're thankful. Thankful to who? For what? If there ain't no God, who are you thankful to? If there ain't no Jesus, why do we have Christmas? They say, well, it's a holiday. Holiday means holy day. There's a holy day. It's holy day. That's what the word holiday means. Holy day. And so, let's look at it just a second. Here's the real history. Brother Derek mentioned some of it in Sunday school, and he had that prayer that George Washington, I just happened to read that yesterday, and George Washington prayed a prayer. Hadn't things changed? The president prayed a prayer that God would have his hand on our nation and on our people. And he was not talking about Allah. He was talking about the God of that Bible right there. That God would keep his hand on America. And brother, he did. If I'm too loud, cut me down just a hair, Jamie. I want to say a couple of things about America. Are you listening? Here's our country. A little group in Scrooby, England, prepared to come here to the new world, to their new home, where they might, quote, preach and preserve their culture and raise their children according to the way they believe. They sailed from Leyden, Holland, and they boarded the 60-ton Speedwell. The first ship was called the Speedwell. They knew they were pilgrims. They took a printing press. You know what they brought here? They took a printing press who had just been invented not long before that. They took a printing press, 200 books, and the Bible, the King James Bible, to be the textbook of the schools to raise their children from. That's what they brought to this country. It wasn't long to the Speedwell, and the Mayflower took off and sailed on August the 5th. They done it in warm weather, 1620. But about 300 miles out, the Speedwell was declared unseaworthy and had to turn around and go back. They said it'll never make it. Her passengers would have to go aboard the Mayflower, and 20 dropped out. And then it moved them up into September. So September the 6th, 1620, the Mayflower sailed out with a passenger, just about, I think it was 100, a little over 100. And they had already been 7 weeks and had 2 months to go. They had been out on the water 7 weeks. Now, I wouldn't mind taking a boat ride, but not 15 weeks out on the water like this, not even knowing where you're going, brother. I mean, day and night. 15 weeks. And started in September. That's why it put them up into November when they finally got here. They were eating the food supply. They could not go back. They had left their houses. They had gave up everything. And there wasn't one way to go, and that was forward. They say, if we make it, we make it. And if we drown, we drown. Some of the sailors laughed, as I mentioned a minute ago, with the Christians. Their leader was taken with a sudden strange fever and died in a few hours. Nobody else laughed at him. They said the entire trip. They threw him overboard. One passenger came up out during the storm and was hurled into the Atlantic Ocean. And brother, they were afraid. Somebody caught a hold of a rope and they saved him and pulled him back in. Finally, on November the 9th, just about a week and a half ago, on that date, November the 9th, at 7 o'clock in the morning, there was a shout rang out from the crow's nest. Land ho!
Somebody spotted land. And brother, the shouts and tears, they fell to their knees on the ship and thanked God. Elder Brewster suggested a song of praise, and the words of Psalm 100 sailed out from the main deck. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Can you imagine being out on a ship 15 weeks? I mean, this, you didn't know if you'd ever even make it or not. And about that time, somebody up yonder says, land ho, boy, like them pirates, boy. I mean, I said, I can't. And about that time, I said, praise God. And somebody said, hallelujah, we made it. That's sort of like us, you know. I ain't preaching on that, but we're a sailing. We're a sailing. And I've been a sailing many, many years. And one of these days, somebody's going to shout, there's land. And Jesus is going to come, and we're going to make it to the other side, people. Just hang in there. Have I told y'all lately? We are going to make it to the other side. Thank God we're going to be there one day and we're going to see the Lord. Well, they shouted and somebody jumped up and said, praise the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Let us come to his presence with thanksgiving. And they won't tell you that in college, but that's exactly what happened. And you know what, boy, they would soon be in their new home. The Scrooby Church Covenant would become the model, are you listening, for the Mayflower Compact. And that's what makes America different from Canada and Mexico. Have you ever wondered why Canada is on one side of us and Mexico is on the other side of us? And neither one of them countries are a major world power and America is the greatest country on earth? Because they took that book right there and built our Constitution, and our laws were built upon Old Testament principles and New Testament laws of being good to each other and giving for each other preference. And brother, God bless this country. Because it was built on the preaching of that book right there. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We got the right book. We're on the right track. We got the right Savior. We got the right belief. I'm telling you tonight, praise God, we're going to the right heaven one of these days when we leave here. They made the Mayflower Compact. They knelt on the shores of Cape Cod. Imagine. Now imagine this. When I was studying this evening, I looked out over there across from my house, down the hill, across the pond, up straight up that hill over yonder. They had no maps. They had no roads. They had no cities. They were up there in Massachusetts in late November. It was a lot colder than it is here. You know, they had 7 feet of snow up there last week. Did y'all hear about that? Up in somewhere up north. And, brother, it was cold. Can you imagine? I've never been ceased to amazed how that they figured out how to get around and where they was at. Who drawed the lines of the states and how they did that and stuff? Have you ever, like, going up from here to Gatlinburg? Imagine somebody dropping you down the middle of that place and no lights and no maps and no roads and no signs. I mean, if you just dropped right here in Morganton and they wasn't, you wouldn't know which, you unless you knowed east and west, you wouldn't know where you was at. And here they was. There's about 40-something of them that didn't live through the first winter, and that left only 50. And they had their first actual Thanksgiving, it wasn't called a holiday, 50 of the pilgrims and about 90 Indians, 140 altogether, got together and had killed deer, and there wasn't no deer laws. They killed them deer, and they fixed turkey and wild meat, had turnips and vegetables, and had a feast. And the place where they landed, there was already cleared out. Trees was cut and everything so they could build houses. There was a large, hostile tribe of Indians who lived there, but they said a strange fever come and wiped them out. And the other tribe said the Great Spirit killed them and run them out of there. And it was God made a place for them people to live there in His foreknowledge and in His sovereignty. God in heaven fixed a place for the pilgrim. Can you imagine? They had one, took one of them big old saws like that. My daddy used to have one. And it was a big old long thing, a lot longer than this guitar, but they'd hold it like this right here, and it'd have a thing like that, and you'd saw the wood like that. Saw the wood. How many of you folks ever sawed with one of them big old saws? Had big teeth in it. And when I was little, Daddy put me on one side, and he said, all right. He said, now you pull it, don't push it. Because if you push it, it wants to bend that way. So I'd pull it, and he'd pull it. And I'd pull it, and he'd pull it. And I'd pull it, and he'd pull it. And sure enough, them teeth would just go, zzz, 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 zzz.
That's the only way they had to cut trees. No chainsaws, no nothing. And they cut them logs, and they would build them a house, and they'd build them a fire at night, and brother, they made it, and they'd get together and sit on log benches, and brother, get up and preach a King James Bible, the exact Bible that I'm preaching here tonight. I'm telling you, glory to God, hallelujah. We think more than poor, pitiful pilgrims, but you know what? There wasn't no turkey laws, there wasn't no taxes, you didn't have to worry about nothing. The government and the IRS, and I mean, you just done built you a house and claims, put up, stake you out some land, whatever you wanted, raise your family and preach and eat good healthy food and die and go to heaven. They didn't have it too bad. I mean, the weather might have been a little rough, but I'm telling you what, they've made it, and by the grace of God, our forefathers begin to build this country. Amen. I'm telling you what, brother, they found the land already cleared. I mean, they sat on long benches and they quote, preached powerfully and profitably. And they met old Samuel Seth, whatever his name was. Pocahontas come in there and got saved somewhere or another. And it wasn't like the cartoon. She got born again, buddy. And she didn't have a little... She wasn't this big around and had a miniskirt on. The real Pocahontas, she was a real person and got saved by the grace of God. And brother, in 1621, the governor declared a day of public thanksgiving. Turkeys, cabbage, carrots, deer, and turkey meat. Amen. How much different than our brat hippie culture of our country today. They said this one old hippie told his girlfriend, he looked up and said, "Hey man, y'all remember the hippies? There's still a few of them left in Asheville. A lot of them. And, hey man, remember when all the hippies come out? I never heard James Dobson. This is awful, but I'm going to tell you what, Dr. Dobson said it, so I guess it's alright. Let me tell you, he said he was come in one time, these two characters sitting down there, this preacher looked at them, and they said he come in, two hippies, and sat down in the doctor's office. And the doctor come in, and he couldn't tell which one was the woman and the male or the female. Because both of them hair just like that right there. And the doctor looked over and he said, "Now how am I going to say this without hurting their feelings?" And he said, "Which one of you has the menstrual cycle?" And the guy looked up and said, "Not me, man. I got the Honda." These hippies, just listen to me, the rest of you. These hippies, they come out, and the hippie looked over at his girlfriend, and he said, "I tell you what I'm going to do." He said, I'm going to go pick up our unemployment check, and then I'll meet you over at the university so I can get my check from my grant money. And then you'll go by and pick up our food stamps. And then after that, you'll go over to the free clinic to get tested, make sure you ain't pregnant. They ain't got no diseases. And then I go over to the health department and get my glasses, pick up. And then we'll go get our welfare check and hurry. And then I'll meet you over at the federal building. We'll protest the rotten establishment of our government. Now, that's our generation right there. I will tell you something, brother. It wasn't started out like that. Amen. God bless America. Somebody said God blessed America because America preached and believed that book right there. And God, America's great because America was good. And when America ceases to be good, America ceases to be great. And we are seeing America slowly but surely crumble in front of our eyes. That's why it's important to have your kids in church. That's why it's important to be faithful to God's house and read the Bible and pray and let your kids feel God's presence. Have you ever felt God's presence in a service? Well, keep bringing your kids so that they'll feel God's presence in the church. That's the best thing you can do for your kids. Let me say this, and I'm going to hush. I told you I wasn't going to be long at all tonight. We ought to be thankful for our country, and we ought to be thankful for a privilege and opportunity to be saved and go to heaven. Instead of griping about how bad we have it down here, we ought to be thankful that God, we ain't going to hell when we die. You know what, tonight? I thank God. I thank God that I grew up. And my mom's from Spruce Pine up there. Mom set me on her knee and told me there was a God. And told me there was a heaven. And told me there's a hell. A lot of my friends died, and I don't know if they're saved or not, died in car wrecks, died on drug overdoses, people that I went to school with. One day I sat down, and you'll do this too for long. One day I sat down and I thought of all the people. Get your high school annual out. You'll be shocked. You'll be shocked after 10 years, 20 years, at the people that are no longer even alive. I mean, I counted four or five that I was in my class at school that's done gone into eternity. Why me? Why? I didn't deserve this. I didn't deserve to get to preach and tell people about the Savior. I mean, I preach all over the world every single day. I'm preaching lots of places right now, places I don't even know about. I mean, the people, they told me out in Texas, they said to our church, everybody out there, they said, we watch it all the time. Well, I don't deserve that. I don't deserve God's blessings. I don't deserve what God did for me when I was 18 years old. But I sure thank Him for it. I thank Him for it tonight. I am undeserving. I ought to be in hell tonight. But thank Him tonight. Thank God. Be thankful unto Him. And bless His name tonight, people. Bless His name. Amen. Bless His name. I heard about a businessman that run this business. He had 175 employees. And he sent every one of them a turkey for Thanksgiving. And he got two notes and two verbal thank yous. Two of them said thank you, and two of them wrote a note and said thank you. 171 never said a word. That's our generation. And you know what he said? He said, I'll never do it again. He said, I'll never give people that. 175 turkeys and four people said thank you. You know, these kids, I know these kids nowadays, even on bus kids now, you hand them something, they look at it, is that all you're going to give me? Man, he's always taught, somebody gives you something, thank God for it. Don't look like that ain't good enough. Lord have mercy, we're an unthankful bunch. Somebody does something for you, here's a good rule. If you do something for somebody, forget it. Somebody does something for you, don't never forget it. If you do something for somebody, forget it. I get tired of people. Every time you talk to them, well, I've done this for them, and I've done that for them, and I've done this for them. Forget what you've done for other people. Just remember what somebody else does for you. Amen. I'm thankful for a chance to be saved. You don't believe in nothing but the Bible teaching of heaven and hell. Listen, if God never done nothing for us but save us from hell fire, you do believe in hell fire, don't you? If you don't believe in hell fire, what are you doing sitting in here tonight? The same Bible tells us there's a heaven, tells us there's a hell. If that ain't true, none of the rest of it we don't know is true. Listen, there's a hell burning below us tonight where people are screaming and begging for a chance to get out, and we're not going to go. Thank Him and bless His name tonight. He said, I'll never go out of my way to be nice to anybody again. Four people thank me. How terrible for God to offer us His best and we won't even receive it. How terrible for us to say, well, you know what a lady told me one time? She don't go here. She visited here a few times. She said, Danny, you expect too much out of people. I said, what? She said, you expect them to come on Sunday night and Wednesday night? I said, I sure do. God does. And if you don't have to work or you're not hindered in some way, if you have to work, I mean, if you can't, you can't. But I said, Lord, is that all? Is that not all the least we can do after what He's done for us? Shouldn't have to beg us to come to church. Shouldn't have to beg us to preach you to read the Bible. Bless His name. He's been good to us. We ought to enjoy coming and worshiping Him. Amen. I stood out one day. We had a fire going. And it was burning, and I stood out there and I could feel that heat on my face. You know how when you're burning, and it gets pretty hot, you have to just do like this when you're throwing stuff on it. Man, you can't stand it. You can't stand to get plucked. And I thought, how would it feel for those flames to be on your body? See, if you're saved tonight, you ain't really got no reason to be pouting around. Amen. Bless His name. Fussing over how strict the church is, you ought to be shouting you ain't going to burn forever and ever and ever. Here in America, we've got chance after chance after chance after chance after chance after chance after chance. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. Let's stand with our heads bowed.